Morning, church. I would just like to testify about Encounter 2 that I did about 2 weeks ago. I've been in Shofar for pretty much 10 years, and I've done the foundation courses on. And I facilitated, and I've heard about the new Encounter series, and I really thought it's just a rebranded F2 with a new name. So I didn't have a big expectation. I actually asked Yaku if I can facilitate it. He said, no, I must first go and do Encounter 2, and then I can facilitate it, because I didn't actually expect to learn anything new. So I didn't go with a massive expectation, and I just went 2 Saturdays ago, and I was profoundly impacted by Encounter 2, where I'm normally on the law side of grace, trying to earn God's favor and trying to earn His love. It was a complete experience of God outside of my church box that I sometimes place God into, where I experienced God in everyday life. The way they presented the program was so fresh and so new, and where the old F2 was great, and I know many people was impacted by F2. I really believe God has taken us to a new level, and where God takes us from glory to glory. And E2 was really an experience for me. It was an experience of how church should be. I really not just saw, but experienced how this church should look like, how this family should look like. And it actually inspired me, where the old F2 was functional and factual. It never really inspired me to see that. But now I want to see our church become what God has destined us to become. That this family can be in unity, that we can be what God called us to be, that we can be a fully functioning body, that this church impacts this world, that we become functional, that every little part has its, every person has its part in this church, and we become functional, where we can become the bride of Christ that God is calling us to become. So I'm just so excited to be part of this church, to be the man that God has called me and every one of us. So I really want to just encourage everyone in this church, old and young, to come and partake of Encounter 2, and just see where God is taking us, and just to be a part of that. So, because I'm just so excited that we can become the body of Christ, that we can become that church God is calling us to. So guys that has done F2 in the past, and please come back. The old people, come back in 2 weeks' time. Saturday, please come and join us. It's going to impact your life. I know it will impact your life. So I just want to really encourage you to come join us for Encounter, the new Encounter series. Thank you.
As in the attitude of worship, just call out to the Lord Jesus. Just speak to Him. Lord, we want to hear Your voice. We want to be heard by You, God. Jesus, You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You are beautiful in this place, Lord. You are beautiful, Lord. I love You, Lord. As we remain in worship, do you have a word or a picture that God is giving you? As the saints can just continue just praying in the Spirit. If there's anyone that have a word.
So this morning, every time before church, we all just come together just for like intercession and just praying for church all our time here. And this morning, God showed me a picture, and there was a person standing, and they had shells on their eyes, but it was like thick and hard. And we were like going towards it and trying to scratch it out, but like still wanting to tell them, listen, have this perspective, like look at God. We want you to see this. And nothing happened. Actually looked like we were hurting them. And the hand just went to their heart, just loving them. Like not saying, listen, your perspective is wrong. Just look at God. We want you to see Him. Just love them. And something came to mind as we were like worshiping on Wednesday night. I was part of the outreach thing. We went to the black bars, and hours went past, and we went home. And on our way home, me and my friend, we were talking to, well, she was talking to the car guard, and I was talking to a homeless man. And it was weird. Like, we had a conversation, and I was telling him I can't relate. I've never slept on the street, like, knowing that I'm not getting off it. Or, and then we were just having a conversation, nothing. And at one time I asked him, can I pray for you? And it wasn't the prayer that changed him. It was a black man, and I asked him what his name was, and he said, Arnold. And I was going, okay, chances are your name is not Arnold. What's your real name? Like, your causa name. And he said, Smadiswe. And I was, and you know, everything, like the prayer and everything, wasn't what changed him. It was like, I don't know, like in the moment, I just felt in my spirit, it was because you asked his real name. They want to be loved. That's it.
I think I just, as we were singing this last song, I just had a, just an impression on my heart, as Robert said, how God is an emotional God. I just had a sense that, of such sadness on my heart, that God's heart breaks when he loses his children. And if you've got your own children, you can understand. The worst thing you can imagine is losing your child. And I just had a sense that God wants us to realize that his heart breaks when his children are lost. And we mustn't just think that God's okay with it. As Robert's saying, that if God calls himself the Father, we must. It's because he's got Father attributes. And I just had a glimpse now of how sad God must be, and how his heart breaks for his children. And we mustn't. I just sense we mustn't take lightly of the fact that people are lost. It's that's God's heart, is that his children would be saved, and that his children would come and sit around his table.
Morning, church. I just want to come and encourage you and put a challenge in front of your feet. I just sensed in the worship that sometimes we really focus on ourselves and our problems, and we forget about why we're here. And I just want to come and encourage you to have an expectancy of God. We can't sing the worship songs and say how marvelous our God is if we don't expect him to come and worship with us. So I just want to come and just encourage you this week, especially go on your knees and ask God to give you an expectancy in your heart. If you want to have a tongue and bring it to the church, then ask him to give you that tongue. Or if you have expectancy or a dream to pray for people to for healing, you can't ask him if you don't have expectancy that he's going to give it to you. So come before God and go on your knees and expect him to come, and expect him to come and bring you a heart of worship and a heart for his people and a heart for his kingdom.
Ek wil net sê, vanoggend toe ons ook geworship het, ek net gevoel dat Papa Vader staan en hy is lief vir ons, en hy wil vir ons net van sy liefde verseker, en hy wil met ons dans, en hy wil met ons, hy wil net met ons een verhouding hê, een intieme liefdesverhouding. Maar baie dikwijls kom ons en ons bou met, en hy staan vast, dis ons wat kom en met unforgiveness en bitterheid en pride, dat ons kom en nou baie hoë muur bou tussen ons en Papa Vader. En hy wil net vanmorgen kom en sê, weet jy wat, elke keer as jy iemand vergewe, en elke keer as jy net lief het vir iemand wat jou ook seer gemaak, en dan breek jy weer die hoë muur af tussen my en jou, en kan ek en jy weer in die liefdesverhouding staan.
Let us pray. Father, we want to just thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are a good and amazing God, Lord, and that you are more powerful than anything, Lord, that we can ever see or face, that you are just much bigger than everything, because you are the creator God that created everything in 6 days, and the 7 days you rested. Lord, you are so powerful. You just said, let there be light. And there was light. All the light that we can see was there. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that your heart is for your children, Lord. That you say it's good and it's pleasing to you that all people must be saved and come to the knowledge of who you are. That you so loved the world that you gave your only son because of your love, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And I thank you, Lord God, and for what you've done in our church this last week, Lord God, and all the honor and glory is yours, Lord. All the glory is yours for lives that's been touched, Lord, for healings and for deliverance, and Lord God, people accepting Jesus, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. It's not our efforts. It's just so in vain if it's not about you, if you're not getting all the honor, Lord. And Father, thank you that you love us because we are your children, Lord. That you are our Father, Lord. And we can come in boldness before you because of the love of Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to speak a blessing over every person here, Lord. Thank you that you love us, Lord. And I just pray this morning for a revelation of your love for all of us, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just want to bring my heart before you, Lord. And I really trust, Lord God, to just reveal who you are, Lord, to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that every word, Lord, will be acceptable unto you, God. Father, we pray, Lord, for our hearts, Lord. And as I have prayed this week, Lord, that you break our hearts for what break your heart, God. And Lord, we pray and we thank you, Lord, as a congregation, Lord, to be the body of Christ, Lord. To be an example of who you are in our lives, God. And I thank you, Lord God, for great things, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you are awesome, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We've had such an amazing week this week, and going to different places and many times being challenged with things that we saw. Just for example, at Cotlands, when I met Cindy the first time, she introduced me to this little baby, and then when we came back, she said that this baby died. And now I'm like, you're broken, and you just understand that if you have your own children, that there are people out there that really do amazing work. They get no pay, but they just do it because they have a calling of God on their lives. And, you know, we sometimes come with a huge expectation to change the world in 5 minutes, and then we leave again and nothing changed. Because for me, Rick Russo's sermon at the conference, that we must get into the river to get our hands and our feet wet, to get ourselves dirty. We cannot make a difference. We cannot have an impact in the community by just praying. It starts with praying. From praying, we go. We are obedient to what God is telling us. But it's not the government that will change this country. It's the church that will change it, because God will get the glory. But the church belongs to all of us. We're all part of the body of Christ. Each person here has got an amazing gift from God. But it's all of us that must work together. I really believe this is the place that God wants to bring us together, in a place of love, to move out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I've just experienced, and I shared with the guys at intercession, and you know, which month? It's the 7th month, and still when we ask what you feel God is saying to you, they talk about unity, and I'm just, I don't even want to hear that word anymore, unity. But it, every time it comes back, unity, unity. And when we were praying, I just believe God is showing me something. It's like the church as a whole is like this, and we come together, and then something happens, and it does that. And it comes together, and something happens. And it happens all the time. And I shared with the guys, it feels to me like I'm in an F4, for those of you who've been in our church for a while, for months. I just feel like I've got to pray and heart, and it's really tough. And it's all these things that's happening from all different sides. And we pray, the one morning God showed the one person like a statue, and everybody was looking at the statue from different sides, but they're all seeing different angles, but it's exactly the same statue. And then Robert said something very significant on Friday morning. He just said he had a vision some time ago, and he just knows it's applicable to us, about an ox wagon with the oxes, and the people on the ox wagon are supposed to hit the oxen. But they get frustrated and angry at one another. Now they start hitting each other with the whips. And he just said, we must just take the whips away and put it away, because this is causing us to become divided as a people. And you know, in John 14 and 15, it says, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That we come to church, all of us are here because we love Christ. Or you seeking, you want to know him, you want to love him. But we are here because we want to love Christ. And if we love Him, Jesus said, if you love me, you must do my commandments. Jesus says, if we love Him, you'll be loved by the Father. And I will manifest myself to you because of our love to Jesus. Then Jesus also said that all people will know that we are His disciples because of the love that we have for one another. So people from the outside will know we are disciples of Christ because of how we are together, how we look at one another because we love one another. And what I'm just experiencing is for us, there's this almost infighting so that we never can come. There's no trust, there's no loyalty, there's no love for one another. So we are not being the disciples of God because we're not coming together as a body of Christ. But then when we prayed the one morning, just someone prayed and said, but love is inclusive. It's not exclusive. And we see it with our children as well, that little children, they form little groups together. And those ones who are not in the in crowd are being left outside. And that's not Christ, because Christ is for the lowly. He always brings in everybody. No one gets excluded. So when we are a circle of friends, the godly thing is to extend our friendship so that everyone can be part of the group of friends and not just some people. That's the love of Christ. Everybody is welcome in the group. And the group must open so that more people can come in. And I just believe with us as the small groups as well, this is why we want to multiply the groups so that we can extend the hands that more people can come in so that they can be discipled. Because that is the love of God, for people to know Jesus. And we must help people to meet Him through discipling people. And if we little groups like this, we cannot open the door for new people to come inside. And what I just experienced this week is that God first loved me. That Jesus loves me. And from when you go from that place to people and you share His love, it's not. I just said to this one woman in the shelter, Clint Eastwood. He looks exactly like Clint Eastwood. Amazing man, amazing man. Wow, what a man! He's 72 years old. He's very strong. He wants to work, but when they see his CV, they say, "You can't work. You are too old. You are 72 years old. We can't give you a salary." But he says, "I don't want anything from me. I just want to work. I'm strong enough." So I said to him, "You know, my mother's also 72. She's also as strong as you are." He said, "Where does she live?" I said, "Hey." So for me, me and Clint Eastwood almost had a showdown. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But for me, with him, something changed my heart with this man as well. Because I was just speaking to him, and I was talking to him the whole night. And then he said to me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Why?" He says, "No, I want to believe, but I can't. Will you pray for me?" So I said, "Oh, sure, I'll pray for you." And then he said, "You know, this man really needs Christ. Won't you just tell him about Jesus? Because this and this is wrong in his life." And then there was this gangster guy full of tattoos. And I asked him, "Were you in the gangs?" He said, "Yes. But I'm more than a victor in Christ, and Jesus is my, he's all of that, but he lives in the shelter." So his life has gone bad, but he just proclaims Jesus wherever he goes. And the guys love him, but they're like, a little bit distant of him because, show me the fruit of what's happening in your life. And then the next night we came there again, and I had a meeting with someone, and I couldn't wait to get out of there because I wanted to go to Clint. And when I saw him again, we were talking, and he said, "But can you pray for me?" And we prayed, and he said, and I said, "Do you want to give your heart to Jesus?" And he's crying. He says, "Yes, that's what I'm asking you for." And we prayed with him, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And I really wanted him to come to our church. I'm going to go out to him and bring him in. But what I'm just realizing is that when we go to people, we go because we understand how much God loves me. And I go from that place. Because I've got some, and I said to him, I'm not here because of anything. I'm here because I know how much Jesus loves me, and I know how much He loves you. And that's what I want to share with you this today. And that changed his life. We many times come, and I said to the guys, don't go for the kill. Don't go in because you want to tell a story how I led someone to the Lord and how this and this happened. Because you wanted a testimony. Go because you love that person. although there was this one girl, the man was on his deathbed and she led him to the Lord, which I think is amazing. You know, so we must just be open to the Spirit of God. Don't go in with rules. Just be open to follow what God is doing, what God wants to do in our lives. But Matthew 16 says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So if we want to be Christians, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to deny yourself. You must take up your cross and you must follow Christ. There's no place that we can say as a Christian that I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to take up my cross. And this is a word I believe is for every Christian. We cannot live a lifestyle of being lukewarm. That's what the message of the cross. You cannot be lukewarm. You have to surrender everything to Christ. That's the message of the cross. Because Luke 14 says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So if you're not prepared to surrender everything, the Bible says clear, you cannot be my disciple. Now, why we were talking about unity and a house divided against itself cannot stand, and all of these things are being said, and Matthew 24 says, I've got it up there, and it says that in the end times, Jesus is talking about what will happen in the end, but many will be offended. Many people will be offended, and I see it in church. Many people are offended. We were talking with the leaders, and I was saying, guys, there's about 92 people in our church from the beginning of the year. We must multiply cells to start new cell groups. Who can we multiply cells with? Because these people need to be discipled. And they say to me, no, we can't. And I said, what about this one? No, but hulle het seer gekry. What about that one? Yeah, they've been hurt. And this is where, and people have been hurt. All of us, I've been hurt in church so much. And we become offended. And I think this is where we are. And this amazing woman came to us the other morning, and he's been saved, and he's leading me to the Lord, and he's just preaching at me and all these scriptures, and he asked me what it says in this scripture, and it's all in Afrikaans, and he was too quick for me, because I don't read the Afrikaans Bible every day. I read my English Bible, but he said he's in a small group, he's in a house church, because he's been hurt in the church. So they've got a little group, but when he disciples people, he sends them to the church. And I believe this is something that's happening universal. People get hurt and they go to little small groups and they are offended with one another. And this is what Jesus prophesied. They will betray one another. They will hate one another. Many false prophets will come, and because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. And I think for me, my heart, I realized my heart was hardened. And there's no love in my heart anymore. And I said, God, and I've prayed it for many weeks now. I said, God, break my heart for what break yours. And at Gotlands, when we prayed afterwards, my heart broke. My heart broke. Because when you stand in front of that wall with these little the photos of these little kids, they've been some 3 or 4 months old. Some children, they are 1 hour old. Then they've been brought to Gotlands. Some are 2 or 3 years old, then they've just been left there, and they don't have mothers. Or the police pick them up and they bring them to Gotlands. And then at 2, 3, and 4, they've died. And they've got this wall of remembrance. And I just realized for us as the church, we've got to get involved. We have to get involved, because God's heart is breaking for this. Verse 13 says, and he who endures to the end shall be saved. So the love of many will get offended, our love will grow cold, but those who endure, and I think this is endurance that I really bring before you this morning, will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. So what I'm just saying, the antidote for offense is to go and be the witness of Christ. And this is like with Life Church. The man from the shelter, he's in Life Church, and he said, we are not, I said, no, we don't care, we just want to help you, we want to go where you go, and this is why and for us to go together as a church was awesome. It was just amazing, as different churches, to reach out to people, because we had so much common ground. And everyone that came back had an amazing testimony. It was just how we, many people you like, and now you go together and God do something between the two of you and you just, oh, that's amazing. It's like running a marathon together or being in the army together. When God do something through you, when you're reaching out like that, you become like very close friends. So, because we are offended, and I said to the district leaders, you know, if there's offense in your heart, it's because we don't want to forgive. And I believe that's sin. If we don't want to forgive because we have a hardness of heart, we've been hurt, we are sinning. And because God has told us to forgive all people. Philippians 2 says that Jesus, being found in human form, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So the two key words for me is humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We must humble ourselves before God. If you've been hurt, there's two sides. There's always two sides of a story. Sometimes we must just go, Lord, I humble myself before you. Let your will be done. And then the other word that stands out is obedience. And obedience is obedience to the word of God, to the Bible. Read the Bible and become a doer of the word. Being obedient to authority. If my son, the leader, says, guys, yes, I really would like us to go and do something, we go and support him because our son leader is our authority. And I submit unto him as I submit unto Christ. There's a place of authority in, that I really believe that we as Western Christians do not understand. And then the leading of the Holy Spirit. But also, the Holy Spirit will never lead us if it's not in line with the Word. So for me, if the Bible says, if you say no, God says I mustn't go and make disciples, I'm not, I don't know. I can't see that because the Bible is saying to you, go and make disciples. Or if you're saying, no, I'm not meant to serve in this church, I've got to serve somewhere else. The Bible says being planted, those who are the righteous will be planted in the house of the Lord. So are you really obedient to what God is saying? Because God is saying we must serve one another. Or when we wash feet, it's like, no, I'm not going to let someone wash my feet. But Jesus says, go and wash one another's feet. Now you go and do likewise. So the Holy Spirit will always lead us in line with the Word. And this is why it's for me so important to read the Word and become doers of the Word. And I'm talking about myself. So whenever we get challenged, go back to the Word. What did Jesus say? What would Jesus do? So, when we've been hurt, we hurt, and when we take up offense, it goes with pain. Your heart is here, and it sits there, and it's awful. And for me, I said to the guys on Friday morning, I love a grudge. I like to raise it up. I want to see it going through school. At university, I'll release it. But that's my weakness. And God's been challenging me so many times. I said to the one guy that came to me, the whole of worship, I had to pray, Lord, I forgive him. Lord, I forgive him. I couldn't, because I was doing this. Just things that we do to one another. But we have to forgive all the time. Because I cannot go and represent God if there's unforgiveness in my heart. Jesus on the cross, they bring him before Pilate. They take him first to the high priest, they take him to Pilate, they bring him back again, they take him to Herod, and they beat him with a fist in his face. And they take sticks and they beat him in his face, and they hit him, and they say, prophesy, who hit you? And they hit him in the face, and they take all of his clothes off, and he's standing naked before all these people. They take that crown and they put it on his head with thorns and they push it into his head and blood is coming down his face. And then Pilate talks to him and he doesn't talk back. He keeps quiet. And they beat him and they spit in his face. And then they take Jesus and the Bible says they took Jesus to be scourged. To be scourged. And what it meant was they took a whip with different lengths. And at the end of the whip, there was either bone or iron. And they would take this on his back and they would hit him. and all of those things would go into his back like this, and it would sit there, and the guy would, and he pulls it out like that, and he would hit him again in his back like that, and it's all those things sit in his back, and they pull it out again, and they go and they hit him 39 shots. By the time they finish, his whole back is open. It's raw. That you see his lungs from the outside. You can see everything because he's been completely scorched. Isaiah 53 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed." And now they take this cross and they must put it on his back. And his back is open. It's open wounds, and he puts it on his back, and he's got to walk, and he cannot carry that cross. And they get Simon to help him carry this thing, and they bring him to the cross, and they lay him down on his back on this wood, and there's probably splinters in his back in that raw wound, and they put his hand down, and they take a 6-inch nail like this, and they hit it into his hand, and they take the other hand, and they beat him. And they put the other nail in his hand. And I think the most painful thing to me is probably through your feet, like this, where they take that nail through your feet into the cross. And then they take him and they bring him up like this. And he's hanging there. And now for him to breathe, he must stand on his calves like that, because then you can breathe in and you go out. And he says three things. When we prayed, Godfrey, I cannot get that picture out of my mind. Where is Godfrey? I cannot get it out of my mind when he said that. He said there's three things that Jesus said, and this is where the sermon came from. I wanted to call it God Made Us Free first, but he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And he says to Maria, "Behold your son," and to John, "Behold your mother." And he says to that man on the cross, "Behold, you'll be with me today in paradise." And what I'm seeing is intense pain that Jesus is going through, and he forgives. So I want to say to myself, there's no pain that I can go through that cannot be forgiven. Because Jesus didn't go through pain, he died. He took all of that on himself. He died for us, for all of us. So there cannot be offense in your heart, because Jesus already paid that price on the cross. He took all of that on him. So if we're a believer, if we're saying we're a believer, we've got to forgive. And you've got to forgive yourself. We've got to forgive ourselves for whatever we've done. We've got to forgive those people that's speaking against him. The second thing is that we are family. That my children is your children, and your children become my children. And that's my brother, and I'm his brother. That we care for one another. We are family. We are family of Christ. We cannot have forgiveness, unforgiveness in our hearts because we have been hurt by the church. Yes, you are going to be hurt by the church, because that is what family does. But God has called us to forgive one another. How many times? 70 times, 7 times. And then the third thing, the last thing he does, he's saying, "Behold, you'll be with me in paradise," before he dies. And then he says the spirit leaves him. The last thing before he dies in excruciating pain, he's still open for this man to give his heart, who wants to give his heart to God. So I just want to look at those things first. Luke 23, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That God is saying to you, forgive. We must forgive. He's saying to me, forgive. And I've been, I love a grudge, as I said. And in my own strength, it's impossible. But God says, forgive. We must forgive. We must forgive them when they speak against you, when they talk behind your back. We must forgive them when you think they're going to kill you. We must forgive them. When they come against you and they say things about you, we must forgive. Because that's the love of Christ. God has called us to forgive. John 20, Jesus, after he's been resurrected, he appears to the disciples, and it just stands out in red, this little bit. The Holy Spirit comes upon him and he says, If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. So Jesus is saying, forgive, and you're forgiven. If you withheld forgiveness, the forgiveness is withheld. What did Jesus do on the cross? He forgave us our sin. We cannot not forgive our brothers and sisters. We are called to love one another. And loving means surrendering ourselves, dying to ourselves. That is what the message of the cross is. We cannot have grudges against one another because God is compelling us to go. There was this lady that got saved. Jesus says, her sin, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. But, you know, if it wasn't for the forgiveness of God, all of us will end up in hell. So we all must love much because we owe much. We owe our lives because of what Jesus done on the cross for all of us. We all owe it to Jesus to love much and to give much and to forgive much. I had this devotional this week and it really just touched me. When I read this, I knew this is what God is speaking to me specifically, and it really touched me. It says this person prophesies these messages. So, but it said, beloved, I encourage you to love one another. Yet there are still so much offense and division among you. You can't make someone else love you or forgive you, but you can exercise your own will to love others. Forgive them and release them, says the Lord. We are all equal recipients of God's mercy and grace. Be kind and love one another. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I really knew what I had to preach on, and when I got this, I just knew this is what God is saying. Luke 6:37 says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Colossians 2:13 says, if one has a complaint against one another, so if there's something against you, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you on the cross. Laying down everything. He has forgiven us everything. We have to forgive our brothers and sisters everything. Ephesians 4 says, let all bitterness, this is being cynical, critical, resentment, and wrath, which is rage and madness, and anger, which is that thing that we do, and clamor, which is an uproar and an outcry. I don't know if you do it in the bathroom sometimes. You get so upset with someone. Is it only me that do those things? You get so angry when people make you angry. And slander, which means insult and smearing, be put away from you with all malice. And then it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. We must forgive one another as Christ had forgiven you. So if there's the stuff in your heart, forgive one another. And sometimes that person will continue doing those things, but you have to forgive to release that person. If you forgive, it's forgiven. If you retain it, it will be retained. So my message is this. We must forgive one another. If we cannot forgive, we cannot do the other two that I believe Jesus had called us for. And that is the second one, that we are family. When John said, in John 19, when Jesus said on the cross, woman, behold your son. And then he said to John, behold your mother. And then look at that. He says, and from that hour, the disciple took her sins to his own home. Oh, what did I read now? I read something wrong. From that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He took Jesus' mother in to his own house. And this is the biggest challenge that we have, is to bring, because, you know, when your mother is maybe in the old age home, you don't want to bring her into your house. But that's not the message of the cross. We must bring our family in. If our brother doesn't have a place to stay, we must bring them in, into our house. This is what the word is saying. At this stage, I'm just saying, let's put our faith out there. Let's just take them to the shelter and help the shelter to look after these people on the street, because they are our brothers and sisters. But the message is saying, bring them in. We become one another's family. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how to stir up one another. And I'm trusting God that I'm stirring you up this morning to love and good works. Don't neglect to meet together, as the habit is some of you, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we must stir one another up to love one another, to do good works, and then we go and we must meet together. That we do not neglect the meeting of the saints that come together, so that we can pray for one another, for one another's needs, that we can disciple one another, that we can go out as new people come in to help them, to disciple them, to come closer to who God is. That we're not self-focused, but we're outward-focused. Galatians 5 says, we've been called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And serving is that place at the coffee. That's serving one another. Serving is packing the chairs. Serving is set up. All of this is serving one another out of love. It's a place of love that we come together to have church, to make it an amazing experience for everybody to come together. Serving is what Gerard is doing, to wake up or to be here at 6 o'clock to open up. We serve one another. This is what I really believe God has called us to do as family, to serve one another. And then, I just want to, James 1 verse 27, religion that is pure is to visit orphans and widows. It was so amazing to see this weekend, and this week as we went out to all the different people. Galatians 6 says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially the household of faith. We must continue, don't get tired of doing good. And we continue doing, and you'll get this, you'll get thrown and you'll get used by people, but don't get tired. Continue doing it, and especially the household of faith. That the brothers here around you, this is our family. We are family. We must do good for one another. Then Jesus says, no one has seen God in John 4. No one has seen God, but people see God through the love that we have. 1 John 3, the commandment, if we love God, we will do His commandments. This is the commandment, that we believe in the name of Jesus and we love one another as He has commanded us. And that love is forgiveness, serving, discipling, evangelizing, going out to the nations, to the people, to tell them about Jesus. So I just want to take you to Romans 12 quickly. This is such a beautiful scripture. You go and read it in your own time. Really meditate on this word in our own lives. But I just want to read this to you. It's very small. I don't know if you can read it from here. But Romans 12 verse 9 says, our love must be genuine. There's nothing worse than someone with a fake smile. You pick it up on a mile. That love comes from God. It's by spending time with God. Then there's love that comes from that place that is genuine. We must hold fast to what is good. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Then verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. When you go through tough times, be constant, wait it through, pray. And it says constant in prayer. As I said, it felt to me like I was going through F4. And just this couple came to us and said, look, we just want to pray for you. And I said, thank you. We really appreciate it. And it felt like everything started like doing that as they started praying for us. And like the one morning before an outreach, they even prayed for us. And they said to us, this is going to happen. Be careful. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life. Put your armor on. There's an attack. Big time. So we do it. And then it comes. And we're like, okay. But it was for my life. And I just realized if it wasn't for the prayer, people praying for one another, I probably could have not been standing here this morning. And I want to encourage you guys to constantly pray for one another. If someone has a need, continue praying for that person. If they are on your cell, pray for them. Don't lay hands on them. This morning I prayed again for those two people on the weekend. That I just pray, continue praying for them, for what God has done in their lives. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And show hospitality. Courage is this guy. When we preach in Mzamu, he was the main guy doing the dances. who was with us in the township. Can I just see the Friday night? Just one guy, two guys. But you know that thing is, God is the Alpha and the Omega. Raise Him up, raise Him up. I'm singing this song all the time. I just can't stop singing this song. My children are like, Papa, stop. Papa, stop. But I can't help myself. It's just in my, He's the Alpha and the Omega, and I'm raising Him up. But this guy was dancing, and I was saying to them, we're going to come back with all the guys, and we're going to do a dance competition, but it's going to be white against black. And they laughed at me. Don't laugh, Nelson. And they laughed at me. And then, but Courage was this guy. He just got saved. Beautiful, smart, strong guy. And he danced. And him and Jeremiah's sister, and I was thinking they could be an amazing couple, but he's got a girlfriend already, Courage. But Monday morning, he was in a car accident. Terrible car accident, and I had to put off his leg here. And I'm like, oh God, why this happened? And I just felt prophetically God is saying that the devil wanted to come and take our courage away. He wanted to take my courage away. And I just realized for me that prayer and courage, they go to him in the hospital, and we were praying for him yesterday, and he says, guys, I'm going to come dancing even better than before. And he's encouraging us. And he's full of life because of what God has done in his life. And if anyone has a TV, an old TV that you don't use, and a DVD player, I think I might have one. We just want to bless him with that. I would really appreciate it if you can just tell us that we can give him the Bible school DVDs that he can watch it from his house. He's filled with God's Spirit. He just want to go out and preach. He just laughs a little bit because he lost his leg in this week. Anyway, he's got so much courage. Then verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. This verse 18, live peaceably with all. Verse 19, don't avenge ourselves, but leave the wrath to God. Vengeance is mine, says God. And then if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And then verse 21, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is what I saw this week. As we went out, evil, you can feel the spiritual atmosphere is changing because of people just going out to show the love of God. Then the last thing Jesus said on the cross, he says, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. John 17, Jesus said, as the Father sent me into the world, so I've sent us into the world. As God had sent Jesus, he's saying to us, we must go into the world, all of us. If you're a disciple, all of us must go into the world. Mark 16 says, Jesus said to them, before he transcended into heaven, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go, proclaim the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yesterday, Renee Prata-Diaz and Lisa was with me, if you want to confirm my story. I just wanted to get back, because I know Lynette was there, and I really wanted to work with me in the township. And we came in, and this woman came running to us and said, hey, what are you doing here? And she was like that. And she was drunk. And she had a short thing wearing like this. And I think she was a lady of the night during the day, but she was very drunk already. And she came and she hugged me. And I just said to her, you know that Jesus loves you. And she looked at me, really? And there's this other lady. And we started talking to them. And we just started sharing the love of God to them. But, you know, she's full of stories, and she says to me she's got AIDS, and she's got epileptic, and she's got TB. And I just said to her, you know, I really want to encourage you because God is really good. God is really amazing. God loves you. And she looked at me with big eyes, and then this other lady asked us to go into their house. And every time that happens, I go, oh, God, what's going to happen? I start praying in the Spirit. Ooh, I'm going to die in this house. And then she closed the door, and then suddenly there's this peace. It's like like that, this beast. And I know God is going to do something. And there's this little child with all these funny sores on everywhere. And so, Oscar, I just pray for this baby. And the baby's crying, so we anoint the baby and we cry. And suddenly I can see the countenance of the baby changes completely. And then she brings out this asthma thing. Louis, I don't know if you know what it is, but there's all these, she needs things for it. I said, but let's pray for the baby first. And then I pray for the little one on my knees. And as I pray for her, I can see something happens with this child. And then this, my girlfriend, she's on the knee next to me. She said, I must pray for her as well. And I said, yes, I'll pray for her. And as I prayed for her, I just said, do you want to accept Jesus? And she said, yes, he wants to accept Jesus. So I said to her, okay, just repeat after me. And the next thing she goes, and I don't know if you've seen any of those horror movies. It was like that, just a little bit worse. And she was screaming and she was like grabbing her face and she was doing this. And this other lady said, stop, stop, please stop, stop, stop. It's going to happen again. And I just said, no, it's not going to happen. And she said, in the name of Jesus. And just the love of Christ. And where's Renee? He was there as well. And we were just praying over. It was 4 minutes. And she was completely delivered. She was completely sobered. She stood in front of us and I said, do you now want to receive Jesus? And she said, yes, she wants to. And we prayed the sinner prayer with her. We directed her to Jeremiah's church. And she was complete. And this other woman, she was a missionary. And she has been befriended this lady for many years. And then the mother came in and they're all crying because they've been walking a road with this lady for so long. I don't know how long, but you can see in their faces the cries that God instantly just delivered her and healed her completely. And she gave her heart to God. And because when we start, she said, don't go there. And this is just God's love for me. Mark 16:20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So, maybe if the worship guys can just... there's three things that I think God is speaking to us. This is the Lord speaking to us. I really believe this is a word from God, if I've ever received a word from God, that we must forgive one another, that we must become family, and that it's about the lost. And all the words, if you listened, it confirmed it. So maybe you want to respond, but I'm going to ask everybody to respond. If you want to come forward for prayer, there's some people here specifically that are going to pray for you, especially for forgiveness. But then I also want, if you're not prepared to come forward, I want to encourage you, like courage, have courage, to turn to one another and just pray. Say, you know, I've got unforgiveness in my heart. Because if you don't, you must be amazing. Because that's something that I struggle with all the time. That we just pray and say, this is this person, they've done that. I just want to forgive them in the name of Jesus and release them in Jesus' name. That we just bring it before a brother, we pray and we forgive that person and we say thank you to God for his forgiveness for us. If you have a family member that you've got an issue with, or you've not been partaking as a body, that you don't feel like a body, or you've maybe a widow and you feel the body has, or an orphan in this church and you feel the body has not been looking after you and you just want to forgive the body as well and respond to that, I want to ask you to come forward. And if you don't have a heart for the lost, just repent that before God. Say, God, I don't have a heart. I believe it's because of the love of God. It's that you've not met Jesus. You don't know how much he loves you. Because the word says, I'm compelled by the love of God to go. It's when you know how much Jesus loves you, you are compelled by his love to wanting to go, to spread the good news, which is the love of God, forgiveness on the cross. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, that you are an awesome God, Lord. And Father, Lord Jesus, when you say you've loved the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Lord God, just that picture with you on the cross, the way you've been scourged for us. And the word says, by your stripes we are healed, God. By your stripes we are healed. But you but you took nails through your hands and through your feet, and there was thorns on your head, and you've been beaten by a stick, Lord, and yet you said, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they're doing. You received intense pain, God, and Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will break our hearts for what break your heart, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will just rise up in our hearts, in our hearts, those people that we need to forgive, Lord. Those people that will be angry with because of what they've done, Lord. And Father, I thank you that you say in your word, if we confess our sins, Lord, that you are good and faithful to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. And sometimes when we forgive, it doesn't feel like it, Lord. But you come and you cleanse us and you heal the hearts and you heal us of the wounds. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that this morning you will come and heal us of wounds in the name of Jesus. But Lord God, I pray that you'll give us the courage to forgive one another, Lord. That we forgive, Lord, and even as courage had already forgiven this man who caused him to lose his leg, God. Because he loves so much, God. He's so grateful because he's saved. Because of what you've done for him, Lord. And I could even see his father is struggling, Lord, because my son doesn't have a leg anymore. This beautiful young man, very strong, Lord God, but now he's an invalid. But he says, I have forgiven him already. Father, give us the courage, Lord, to forgive, Lord. To forgive one another in the name of Jesus. And Father, give us the heart, Lord, to become family of one another, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, to go for the lost, Lord, because all people are your children. And you love us so incredibly much, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus. If there's anyone that want to respond, maybe you don't know Jesus and you just know you want to meet him this morning. I want to pray for you specifically. I want to ask you to come forward that we can pray with you. If there's any unforgiveness and you just know you need special grace, God's anointing is in front here. Just come that we can just lay hands on you and help you to work through this unforgiveness in Jesus' name. So if anyone wants to respond to that call now, I'm just going to ask the facilitators to come forward, to just come and stand here to make it easier for people to respond. And then for the rest of you, I want to ask you to turn to one another and pray together. And the facilitators are the people that we prayed before the time. I just want to make that clear that we're just the people that we prayed, that we anointed, we prayed with together. I just want them to come forward for the unforgiveness. For all the other people, I just want you to pray together that we bring this before God. And I really want to encourage you to pray now. And if you're not praying, just turn to someone, just pray for other people. But there's so much power in our prayers. Pastor Jeremiah says, prayer's got too much power. Prayer's got so much power. When we bring it before God, God changes lives. God's love is to change because of the love that He has. But He wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. So I just want to encourage you guys, pray. Bring it before God. Let Him cleanse your heart. Let Him clean your heart completely in the name of Jesus. Thank you.